who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, November the 24th, 2016. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Whose Kingdom Are You In?
Well, glory to God. Glad to be here. Glad you're here. Thank you, Jesus. I want to talk to you tonight about Whose Kingdom Are You In? Whose kingdom are you in? Praise God, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Praise God. Say exactly what you want us to hear, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe you for it. We believe that you'll touch hearts tonight. Lord, we ask that you'd stretch forth your hand and heal and do signs and wonders in the name of your holy Son, Jesus. We ask that you'd send the Holy Spirit down in this place tonight, Lord. And touch every one of us, Lord. Praise God that we won't leave here the same as we came. Lord, we want to be in your presence, praise God. And we thank you for the service so far, Lord. And just, Lord, continue to move in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Whose kingdom are you in? We'll begin. Now, I'm just going to be a lot of scripture, so I don't know that you can follow me. If you want to, you can try. And I mean, it's okay. Whose kingdom are you in? In Luke chapter 13, verse 29, it's the first verse. And Jesus said, they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's bigger than we could ever imagine. It's in places that we could never imagine it's in. We go to the jail, the local county jail, on Tuesday nights. This is a group that's by invitation only. They have a service on Thursday night, what they call salvation service, but if the ones that are baptized and really serious about God are invited to come on Tuesday night. About two or three weeks ago, I believe about three Tuesdays, well, more than that. But anyway, on this particular night, I know so many in that jail. That's what's... I know them. Some of them have been in my church. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Come to Brother Pence's church, you'd end up in jail. You know? But anyway, I know a lot of them. And so when I sat down, there's a young black man sits on one side of me, used to be there, and then there's a young white man sitting on the other side of me, and then another one that sat beside him. And I had prayed for the guys the Tuesday night before. And the young black man, said, "Are you going to pray for us tonight?" And I said, "Well, not unless I'm not the leader of it." And I know the leader very well. And I said, "Not unless he says I can." So he just out loud said, "Can Brother Pinson pray for us?" And he said, "Well, sure." And so I'd go around and lay hands on him and pray for him. Now, that during the day on Tuesday, I said, "Lord, do you have a word for these young men? Do you have a word for them?" And so I begin to go around, and the guy that's the leader comes by. He puts his hand on my shoulder, this shoulder here, and we're going around this big circle. And sure enough, the Lord had a word for those guys. And about halfway around the circle, the leader, he starts speaking in tongues. I mean, letting it go. And you have to understand, this whole thing's owned by the Baptist in there. So, He used to be an elder in the Assembly of God Church, but anyway, that's where I knew him from first. But he's going to Big First Baptist now. So we're going around, and so when we get through, he's just emotional. I mean, he's emotional. And he says, "Brother Benson doesn't know you." Well, actually, I knew two or three of them, but he said, "He doesn't know you," but he said, "Exactly, I know you, and I know what's going on." And he got very, and then someone said, "Well, how do you do that? How do you do that?" I said, "Well, it's in your Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's called the gift of prophecy and a word of knowledge. And So I got to talk to him about that. Well, praise God. So we had a wonderful time that night. I'm just telling you, the kingdom of God's in the jail too. All right, it's under the bridge where we go. We go to the Russians' rehab center, about an hour drive from us. The kingdom of God's there. It's even in our church, praise God. But the kingdom of God, it's in the ministry we have there. We have a ministry for our homeless people, and we're also getting ready for some things. But I said, Lord, this is great. You know, we're moving forward. Well, the next Tuesday night, some guys show up, especially one, and he's got a bad attitude on him. And I had given out that book back there, Overcoming Temptation, Manual for Overcoming Temptation. I passed it out to all the guys, and then they asked me to bring them for the ladies that Tuesday. But anyway, this young black man sitting beside me, he said, I got to tell you, I read that book twice and I got saved. Well, I mean, that's just how he felt about it. Well, this Baptist man over here said, you didn't get saved. You was already saved. You couldn't have got saved. You already saved. And he had actually been baptized. They baptized there in a place. It's a brand new state-of-the-art jail. And so it just went downhill from there. I said, oh, Lord, I thought this was going for it. It went downhill. And that man spent the rest of his night putting those guys down, cutting them down, letting them know how they were beneath him. And then another guy that owns the Sears store, he chimed in with him. And I have to be careful what I'm saying. I don't think they'd ever watch this. But the one that owns the Sears store, I was surprised he was there, because I've been in his store and he cussed like a sailor. But, you know, there he is preaching to him. The young man sitting beside me said, well, I want to read something out of Romans 8. And so he starts reading, and I thought to myself, well, that's Romans 7, that's not 8. But so this man pops up, that's not Romans 8. I know what's in Romans 8. I mean, what are you doing that for? But I mean, just tell you, that's what went on the whole night. Well, this last Tuesday night, I was there, and they shipped out my two friends that were sitting on each side of me. So I sit down by the side. I don't even know him. I've seen him there before. And you kind of got a changing audience, you know. I mean, they're coming and going. And so I'm sitting there, and again, this stuff starts happening. And I'm not against Baptists, please. I'm just saying that's what they are, okay? And so this young Baptist preacher, I'm supposed to teach, but he takes over. He takes over. Well, near the end, I've got just a few minutes left, and finally I'm given an opportunity. And the Lord had already told me that I was to give him a word out of 2 Corinthians 6, come out from among me separate, says the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Be a father to you, you'll be my sons and daughters. And I told them, I said, if you're not coming out from among them, if you're not, and you have to do it even in the jail, you have to do it on the job, you have to do it wherever you're at. And I told them about, you know, Joseph was in prison. He was in Potiphar's house and he was in prison, but he was separate. You understand what I'm saying? No matter where you're at, you can be separate. And two in the bed, the man is added by the King James, but two in the bed, one taking the other left. Two in the field, one taking the other left. Two grinding in the middle, one taking the other left. You can be... See, people only use that excuse. You don't know about who I live with. You don't know who I work with. You don't know... Well, no, Jesus said that you can be separate and touch not the unclean thing, though you have to be right there by the other person. Yeah. And so we're talking about... And while I'm sitting, they sit. I'd like to get up and get with it, but they want you to sit. And this young man next to me, that I don't know who he is, and he starts breathing real heavy, like that. And I said, oh my, what's the matter here? And then he starts praying. Oh my God, Jesus, oh my God, you know. And I mean, he's at the verge of tears. And oh, praise God, I was sitting there thinking, this is about enough of this. I don't think I'm coming back. But then he's getting touched. So I think I'll go back, praise God. Just go back and be with them, you know. It means a lot to them. So the kingdom of God is everywhere. I say the kingdom of God's under the bridges. We go downtown Dallas under the bridges. Some of them call it Tent City of the Homeless. They keep moving them around. There's one couple that came from all the way across the other side of Dallas, walked for a long time, then got on. They had a large train rail system there and got on the train and came. But the crowd was very large. And God's beginning to really touch and move under there. But I want to tell you about, there's a older black gentleman in a wheelchair, always has his Bible, and there's another a Hispanic pastor there, and he was telling me, he said, that black, now I'm sorry I don't know his name, I did know his name, but I can't remember his name, but he's, and after you've been there a while, you get to know these people, and they're not all crazy, and they're not all criminals, they're people of God, the kingdom of God is under that bridge. I mean, people that love God, that know God. It's amazing. And see, we judge them because they're homeless. We shouldn't be doing that. You don't, you know, what is the statistic is the average American family is 3 weeks from being homeless. I mean, that's the truth, you know. And so, and once you get in there, it's very difficult to get out. It's very difficult to get out. I mean, if you got a job interview, how are you going to clean up to go? How are you going to get there? You know, when you're, so anyway, this, he said, you see that black man there in that wheelchair? He told me, he said, see, this Hispanic pastor, he was making lots of money flipping houses, real estate. In fact, he was a school teacher and he quit. He was making so much money, then he got saved. And his world went down the drain. His wife left him for someone else. He lost his children, lost his job, lost his house, lost everything. Well, his brother had pity on him and hired him, then fired him. And he's driving around in the clunker car, with, you know, and but he loves God and he's excited about God. Well, his wife was divorcing him. He couldn't even afford a lawyer. He had to represent himself. And this black gentleman said, you're going to have your kids. Now, that just doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? The woman is going to get those kids, the mother, almost always. It disturbs me. I know this is not every case. But she can find her someone else, divorce the father of the children, and make him pay for this other man to raise his kids. Right. His kids. No wonder some of them are so angry. You know, I mean, this is the way it's going to be. But he said, you're going to get your kids. Well, the time came for the court, and he went, and sure enough, the judge gave them to their mother. But on Monday morning, he got an email from the judge that said, come get your kids. Come get your kids. And he's gone. I don't know how. I don't know what happened. But that old gentleman, he was prophesying right. Praise God. So the kingdom of God is in a lot of places that we don't think it is. In a lot of nations. Among a lot of people. Now Luke 17:20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom should come, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. In other words, you can't see the kingdom of God. I don't care what they put on the church door. You can't see the kingdom of God. Neither shall they say, see here or see there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's within you. The kingdom of God is invisible, but its citizens are recognizable to those who are part of his kingdom, and only to them. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Presses into it. Will not enter the kingdom of God by accident. Oh, looky here, I woke up in heaven. How'd this happen? You know, it's not going to be that way. It won't be by accident, by foolishness, by playing around, by assimilation, osmosis, you know, just the subtle gradual absorption or mingling. You know, if we can just get them in church, eventually they'll get it. Brother Clinton says this teaching terrors how to act like Christians. That there's no repentance and no conversion really there. Or on someone's coattail. This Tuesday night, see, it's always distractions going on. The devil just gets in there. And they got the big argument over the saved one sanctifies the unsaved one. I asked them, are you saying that a saved wife will get her unsaved husband into heaven? Is that what you're saying? And, well, yeah, that's what it says. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. And didn't want to get into that too much with them, but on someone's coattail. But rather because I have preached enough sermons and been to enough funerals, probably you have too, where there's so many lies told by a preacher that put that person in heaven. And I knew they weren't in heaven. I'm not being judgmental. I mean, they weren't in heaven. I had an uncle that never went to church. The walls of his garage were lined with, I think it was Coors beer can. I was just a little boy. I said, well, I never saw anything like that. And never went to church. Fell out of a boat. He had had surgery where they took his larynx out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Has this hole here. Well, he fell out of the boat, or got pushed out. It's hard to hold that hole and tread water. So they had his funeral, and they found a Baptist preacher he talked to when he was 8 years old. And he put him right into heaven. Hallelujah. That's, you know what? Somebody's going to answer to God for lying like that. I sat in a funeral of a teenage boy that committed suicide, and a pastor from the same kind of denomination. He said, look, if you can't handle it, God understands if you take your life. You're still going to heaven. Buddy, if anybody in here follows what you said, you're going to give account to God. You just gave them a license to take their life. Well, but rather, if we're going to make it, he said they press into it, it's because we make a determined and deliberate decision, and then we back it up with appropriate action to press into the kingdom. Press into the kingdom. If you make it, it's going to be because we're pressing into the kingdom. You're going to have to turn the TV off, turn the internet off, quit your games, and press in, or you're not going to get in. Oh, but I got my ticket. I walked the aisle, shook that preacher's hand, repeated that prayer, and I'm in. No, you're not. Luke 13:24 says that we must strive, Jesus speaking, we must strive to enter in at the straight gate. Well, you just don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what's going on in my life. Oh, enough with the excuses. We do what we want to do. We have what we want. If we want this, praise God. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I mean, of those that are even seeking, there's just a few going to get in that are seeking. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, truly, truly, this is Nicodemus, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it. And let me tell you, if you can't see it, you can't find it. You're not going to, you know, you can't get in. And in John 14, Jesus said, the world can't see the Holy Spirit, doesn't know the Holy Spirit, can't receive the Holy Spirit. There's only one way, praise God, to enter into the kingdom of God, and that's by being genuinely born again, and this includes repentance. I was asked by the Hispanic pastor to come to his church. It's under a tent in South Dallas, and a very old, rundown neighborhood. He doesn't have a building, so they put the tent up and have to take it back down, or it won't be there the next morning. But so he said, I want you to come, and I want you to preach. I mean, I want you to come and give the altar call, and because the Friday night, the two nights before, I was preaching under the bridge about the Holy Spirit, and I noticed a young black man there on his bicycle, and he just kept listening. I said, come here. I'll pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. So he came over there, and the Hispanic pastor was standing there, and he laid his hands on him, and we prayed for him. And we got through, the Hispanic pastor jumped back, said, whoa, I felt fire go up my arm. So he wanted me to come over there and do some of that fire over there under his tent. But we got there, and when I got there, there's a white man up there preaching about prosperity. That amazes me. You're going to preach prosperity to homeless people, you know. And but that's what he's doing. And you name it, claim it. And I've heard a lot of things. But so he's preaching this, and he says, some call me prosperity preacher. He said, you better believe I am. And he was just carrying on. Well, then he finally quit. And the pastor said, well, you come up here and have the offer. I said, I want you to invite people to get saved, and I want you to invite people to receive the Holy Spirit. So I'm starting on getting saved. And I said, you got to repent of your sin. And I'm telling them how they had to repent of their sin. Well, this preacher standing behind me starts rebuking me. I mean, rebuking me out loud for everybody to hear. Well, I don't play that. I just turned and gave him the microphone. Here, buddy, you can have it. I'm not going to argue with you. And so he gets up and says, I'm just not going to let anybody curse you people. That's what he said. So then he called them down. He went around and slapped them on the head and jumped up, you know, like this. And that was it.
Well, as soon as it's over, he came to me and he cut into me. And he told me that I used to preach that holiness stuff, and I quit preaching it. And the Lord gave me a word right there, and I said, yes, the reason you quit preaching is because you come up against something you couldn't overcome, and you had to change your message. When I said that, his veins stuck out in his neck, and his face turned red, and he really got with it. Well, he's standing there arguing with me, and the pastor comes over, and the people, everybody's watching. This is a show. I don't like to be on that kind of, in the middle of that kind of show. And he said, brothers, we can't be doing this. We can't be arguing for him. I told him, I'm not arguing this man here. And so we went over, and he showed him a sign that he had facing one of the major freeways there. He's right on the freeway. And it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and where it says, if my people which call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And he's got that for everybody to see going up down that freeway. And he said, brother, he's talking to that man. He said, I believe in repentance. He had told me, you don't have to repent to be saved. You just believe. I go, oh, no, you're wrong on that one. Well, so he saw that the pastor wasn't agreeing with him. And he thinks, I want to come back here. So he had to change his thing. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. He wanted to shake my hand. I wouldn't shake his hand. And well, I finally did. But praise God. And I actually love the man. You know he needs help. He does. I tried. He called me up and apologized. And I wanted to meet with him, but he doesn't want to meet. That's okay. Praise God. I did what I could. But I'm going to tell you, it includes repentance. We're not going anywhere unless we're repentant. We have to live a life of repentance. Constantly. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't let a minute, when you fail God, get that right immediately. Or the thing's going to pile up and snowball.
Thank you, Lord.
It will. Now, Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we're talking about whose kingdom are you in. Never believe that entering the kingdom of God will be easy. Don't ever believe that. It's not supposed to be easy. It is not supposed to be easy. I want to say to you, if you're finding it easy, I'd be very suspect of my relationship with God. Because he said in Hebrews 12 that if we're not being chastened of the Lord, if we're not being chastened, then we're not even a son. So we have to be very careful about this. Through much tribulation. So I just don't know why all this is happening to me. Bless your little heart. Read your Bible, you'll find out why it's happening. And it's not just that you've got a bullseye painted on your forehead. That's not it. It's because God. When we come to Him, we're altogether different than He is. There's got to be saying that little prayer didn't fix everything. Joining that church didn't fix everything. Even if they let you teach a Sunday school class, that doesn't fix everything. There's got to be a radical change in us to come from what we were to what He wants us to be. Now, Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven permits violence, and the violent take it by force. We'll never enter the kingdom of God unless we get violent about getting in. You're not going to scare God with it. You know, I have prayed sometimes that God, you said this is going to happen and it's not happening. And I want to know why it's not happening. You've got to keep your word. I believe in being respectful to God. We must be. But if you look through that scripture, there's some men of God that argue with God over some things. The scripture says, bring words. Bring words. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, had the little girl who was demon-possessed. And Jesus, they tried to get rid of her. Even Jesus was, if you want to call it, ugly to her. He said, you're a dog, and healing's for the children, is the children's bread. Well, she said, but the little dogs get to eat the crumbs under the table. And Jesus said, for this word, for what you said, your daughter's made whole. You can go. She's made whole. Don't give up too easy.
Come on.
Take words with you. Prayer is a court. It's a courtroom. And you've got to present your case to God in faith.
Good word, brother.
You know, and when you present it to Him, if you do, God's going to hear you. Great men of God. Abraham did that. If there's five righteous. Moses did that. Said, God, if you just take my name off then if this is what you're going to do. Praise God. I wouldn't do it unless God led me to do it. If you're doing it with you got sin in your heart, it's not going to work. Now, Matthew 11:12, again, it permits violence. We'll never enter the kingdom of God unless we get violent about it. Yet we must strive lawfully. Lawfully. Violent submission to God in every way. We're violent, yet we're submissive. Excuse me. We're violent, yet we're submissive to God in every way. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now I know what that says, but I want to give you this. Of what we are in the flesh will never inherit the kingdom of God. It will never inherit the kingdom of God. Now 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Not in word, but in power. If we only preach the word, but we don't minister the spirit, then we've only given people half of it. It's almost like when we say that it comes to us and we pray, say, oh, be blessed and be warm. God bless you. Goodbye. You know, to just tell people what's wrong, but you don't give them an opportunity for the Spirit of God to do something about it. We have to minister the word and we minister the spirit. Now, look at Jesus. You follow all through the Gospels. He's doing both of those. Sometimes it's miracles first and then teaching. Sometimes it's teaching, then the miracles. But they receive both. I know what I'm talking about here. That's the theme of the New Testament. He said here, it's not in word, but in power. Anybody, almost anyone, can get up and give a sermon. If you can't find one, look on the internet. You can give a sermon. But there's got to be a minister. And I'm going to say something here, a little hard perhaps. Okay, in one place Paul said, I'm going to come and I'm going to find out whether you've got the power or not. You're talking big, I'm going to see if you've got, you know, the power. That's a test. Oh, Lord help me. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. But you can hide behind here. But when you get out there and you're dealing with people and dealing with their soul and you minister the Spirit to them, what do we think the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are about? Who do we ever, I mean, I'm getting ahead there, but it's not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. And I don't care what they say. This is what the Word of God says. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not going to get in a gay person's face and shout this at them. That's not what we need to do. We need to love them. We need to care. Praise God. We need to show them the love of God. We have to tell them the truth. Praise God. But tell them, he said, speaking the truth in love. In love. I wouldn't go out when they're having their gay parade and have all kinds of signs, you're going to hell and all this. That's not going to work. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, praise God. Not haughty or proud in spirit. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, the same thing. If you want to know what you got to do to get to heaven, you can read it. It's in the book. It tells you how to get there. But if all you... Okay, these people that... Again, and I'm hard on this, but I tend to be. This is walking the aisle, shaking the preacher's hand, repeating this prayer. You're saved! You know. All these little things we give them to do, this profession of faith. You know, the devil knows who God is, and he trembles. But he's not saved. Praise God. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. No matter how far or deeply we seem to progress in the kingdom of God, he will say to the workers of iniquity, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not getting in. If we think our works are going to get us in, they're not going to. I mean, our religious works, whatever. Matthew 18:3, and truly I say to you, except you be converted and become little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I feel like saying this. A little child, if they were capable of driving down the freeway and somebody cut them off, they're not going to act like adults.
No.
With a road rage thing. There's no road rage in the children. There's a lot of things that are not in children. But if they're in us, we ain't going in. We're not part of the kingdom. I mean, I don't know if they'll have cars up there, but you didn't mess it up because you're full of road rage. That's right. What is this idea? When I die and I go up, all my sin and all my junk's going to fall off me. Feathers or gold dust, something's going to fall on me, and I'm going to be changed. He does say we'll be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye, but he's not talking about in here. He's talking about this body. If we're not changing here, the body's not going to change. We're not going anywhere. I mean, if you're afraid of flying, don't worry, you ain't flying. You know, I'll fly away. You're not going to fly away. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, "Permit the little children, forbid them not to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." If you're not like a little child, you're not part of the kingdom. I don't care how much money you got, how well you can preach or sing or what. I don't care how high a position you attain to, if you're not like a little child before God. Only the humble shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Humble, how humble? As a little child. Matthew 19:23, then Jesus said to his disciples, "I assure you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven." If you are rich, and I don't know if anybody is, if you're rich, the Lord may say to you what he said to the rich young ruler. What did he say? Sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Then you shall have treasure in heaven. But he walked away sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, I'm going to give you some more here. And this is where the sermon came from the other night, about 3:30 in the morning. The Lord woke me up, and I've learned something. Let me say this first. The Scripture tells us in Corinthians that he gives seed to the sower and bread for his table. Seed to the sower means I have to depend on him for the sermons. Are the teachings, not the internet, not something I heard, not something I read. He gives seed to the sower. So I have to depend on God for the message, and that's what I do. And sometimes he brings me right up to the last minute, and okay, Lord, you know, I'm dependent, I'm standing on that. And I like the part in bread for your table. So he gives you something to sow in the Word, in the Spirit. And he takes care of you, bread for your table. So I was having I said, "Lord, you haven't given me anything for Lake Hamilton yet. I could preach all the sermons, some of those I preach at home. They're good sermons, but I want to know what he has to say here." And so he woke me up at 3:30 and starts giving me this. And I'm going to get up and get it because it's getting close. And so this is the way it happens. I have this little light, and I turn it on. I think one of my grandkids was spending the night with me. And I don't want to wake them up. But I turn on the light and write that down. I keep something by me to write. Write down the things God says to you. The dreams, visions, write them down. He said, "I'll remember them." "No, you won't." And so I write it down. Okay, that's wonderful, Lord. I feel good. Then turn the light off, turn over. And here comes the next, you know, turn the light on, write it down. Turn the light off, lay down. Here comes another. Turn the light on, write it down. Turn the light off. And it just keeps going. And I don't dare say, "Lord, stop, I'm sleepy, I want to sleep," because I've been asking him for a message. And so this is where this comes from. And all these that I'm going to give you now are exactly what I wrote down in the order I wrote them down. So if you're looking for something chronological or whatever, it's not going to be that. Romans 14:17, and it's similar to what I've already given you. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the first one he gave me. If the revelations that you're receiving, or you think they're revelations, if it's not producing righteousness, if it's not producing peace, if it's not producing joy in the Holy Ghost in and through you, then what you're receiving is not of the kingdom of God. It's not. I'm telling people in the kingdom of God have joy. They're not negative. They're not complaining all the time. They're not bitter. They're not agitated. They're not agitating everybody around them. If you're part of the kingdom, I just read it to you, what the Scripture says. It's not food and drink. That's the food and drink thing was causing problems and divisions. I think this, and he said, and he thinks this, and here we go, and we got a problem. But he said, that's not what it is, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is the fruit of the Spirit? What's the second one? Joy. Love, joy, peace. You see, if I have Him in me, the Holy Ghost, I'm going to be, so to speak, a positive person, a joyful person, a peaceful person. I'm going to have love. People are going to enjoy being around me. Is that right? If you're an old mean whatever you have become, you need to get saved. And you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to hang around you. Just your old stuff. Help us, Lord. Help us. And that's exactly what was happening in that jail that night. That man's so bitter, I don't know what his problem is. I know one thing about him. Years ago, he cheated my son out of a nice truck, sold him a pile of junk that they put together with baling wire. But my son brought to Dad, it was red, and it's Mitsubishi sports car. And he had such a nice truck. And he said, Dad, I want to trade for this. And I said, son, don't do it. I wouldn't advise it. Well, he went and did it anyway. He could get the credit for it. He got it. It wasn't long. It's falling apart. He found out what it was. I don't even know if he found out a pile of, absolutely a pile of junk. And so the next time he wanted to find the car, he said, Dad, will you go with me? But this is the same man that sold him that car. So already, not real happy. But the mean-spirited man. I tell you, you're mean-spirited tonight. If you're a grumpy old man, bitter old woman, oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Get over it, praise God, and go on with God. Next one, Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, if you're not experiencing the presence of God with life, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore, then you're not in the kingdom. Well, I don't like what you're saying, but well, I'm sorry, I'm telling you the truth. And maybe your pastor doesn't want to tell you that. He wants you to keep putting that tithe check in there. But you just need to know something. 2 Corinthians 6:14, and this is the one that I was preaching, the Lord told in the prison, but he gave it to me. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? And what concord or unity has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? It's interesting the Muslims call us infidels. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. And I'll tell you what, I don't know, how does the Holy Ghost even stay in some of these temples? How does he even stay there? As God has said, I will dwell. Let me tell you this. If you're acting like that, you're misrepresenting God. And you need to repent. If you're negative, this old negative spirit, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. The kingdom of God is populated with those who have come out from among this world, and they're not touching the unclean thing. Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. I don't think you can be in the kingdom of God unless you're his disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One thing I've noticed in that jail, and if you're a Baptist, I'm not picking on you, but I'm just telling this, they're constantly talking about the cross. Look what Jesus did for you. They pounded a crown of thorns in his head. His mother couldn't recognize him. They beat him. They spit on him. They blindfolded him. And look what Jesus did for you. Doesn't that make you want to live for Jesus? Over and over, and they never get past that. I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost makes me want to live for Jesus.
Amen.
Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But we're focusing on his cross. What about our cross? And so likewise, and our cross simply means we die to ourselves and to the world. So likewise, we die daily. Whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has cannot be my disciple. forsakes all that he has. The rich young ruler walked away from the kingdom of God in order to keep his position and his possessions. Isaiah 26:3, and you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If we do not have perfect peace, it's because our mind is stayed on something besides the kingdom of God. I don't know if the Cowboys won Sunday or not. I know if they did, it's 10 in a row. I knew every player's name, but I couldn't name the 12 disciples when I was younger. Check, I put that way back there. But it's the truth. And if they lost, I was my old man. Down in the mouth, discouraged. It's kind of like that when I, you know, they used to have that thing on the wall that gave the attendance last Sunday, this Sunday, record attendance. Last Sunday's offering, this Sunday's offering, record offering. And I noticed when the number was up, the money, they was all, woo, hallelujah. When it was down, it's like, you couldn't resurrect them. I don't know, it's an epiphany or something came to me. I got that thing off the wall and hit it. Next service, they won't know where it's at. I don't know your business where it's at, because it's not going back on that wall. But praise God. Well, I don't know where I was at here, but we forsake all. He cannot be my disciple. Now, I'll keep you in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on the Lord, trusting you. If you don't have perfect peace, it's because your mind is stayed on something besides the kingdom of God. And we're trusting in something or someone other than God. That's just plain. That's how it is. Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second's like it. Namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these. But we made a lot of commandments greater. It's impossible to live in the kingdom of God unless we love God with all our being and love our neighbor as ourselves. I don't think heaven's going to be, they're going to be suing up there and taking people to court and fussing and shooting the neighbor's dog and all that kind of stuff. I don't think so. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. If we're unwilling to lay down our life for the brethren, then we're not living in the kingdom of God. If you're, I was talking on the way here, and Sister Deborah, she said she went to pray for someone. I think it's all right if I tell her. She went to pray for someone. She got there, and she felt like God sent her there. She had the Holy Ghost on her, and she went to pray for him. She said, well, wait a minute, I've got to finish my TV program, my favorite program, whatever it was on. And she didn't come out of the house for a long time. By the time she came out, she said, oh, I'm here. And Derek had said, well, it's past. You know, it's gone. Praise God. And I understand what she's saying. One time I was working on our new church, and I had made a commitment to God not to get too caught up in that. And I was working, and I felt the Holy Spirit tugging on me to go be with the Lord, go spend time in His presence. And I said, just a minute, let me finish this. You don't say that to the Lord. 15 minutes later, I realized, uh-oh. So I threw my tools down and ran over to the old church, and my office shut the door, and he didn't come. He didn't come. Praise God. You're not going to treat God like that. Praise God. Romans 10:15, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bringing glad tidings of good things. I tell you what, the kingdom of God is populated with people with beautiful feet. That's right. I mean, you may have fungus on your toenails, but I tell you what, your feet are beautiful if you'll preach the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's what he says. That's what he says. Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. The power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And that's where most people stop right there. You know what I'm talking about. They never get to the third part. And they love not their lives unto the death. Love not their lives unto the death. Those who do love their life and will rather deny Christ than lose their life to death, Peter, when he's being asked there by the fire, they will have no part in the kingdom of God. Peter had to go out and repent. Wept bitterly. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. These are the only ones that are going to make it in the kingdom of God, those who put the kingdom of God first above all things. All things. Praise God. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word, Jesus speaking, and believes on him that sent me, on the Father, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 3:14, we know that we pass from death to life, because we love the brethren, and he that loves not his brother abides in death. The kingdom of God is made up of those who have passed from death unto life. For in God's kingdom there are no dead people spewing out death upon those that have his life. Mark 12:27, Jesus said, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. If you're not alive in Christ tonight, you're not in the kingdom. Isaiah 5:20, woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light, light for darkness, put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. People of the kingdom of God speak truth. They call things as they what they are in God's sight. They hate evil, they love good.
Amen.
Matthew 6:19, lay not for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure's on the stock market, you're going to be watching it every day. See if it's up or down. I've never had to watch it. These stupid commercials come on. Oh, you better get ready for the apocalypse. You better buy some gold. What am I going to buy it with? You know, talking to the wrong person. Praise God. And I tell you what, I wouldn't trust in gold. I wouldn't trust in silver. Trust in the Lord, and so shall you dwell in the land and be fed. Praise God. Now, you can tell which kingdom a person belongs to by where they put their treasure. Luke 20:25, Jesus said unto them, render therefore to Caesar the things that be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. We cannot be a citizen of a nation unless we render to it what belongs to it. If you don't, they'll put you in jail. I'm not so much worried about Caesar's kingdom. I'm just passing through it. And even while I'm passing through it, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Render to God the things that are God's. Malachi 3:8. You know I have to put this in here. How many of you know what Malachi 3 says? Oh, good. Will a man rob God? Yet you robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? Some people don't believe in the New Testament. You know, that's all in the Old Testament. You don't do this anymore. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. I know people. I've watched them. They quit paying the tithes. I just can't do it. But you got a new boat you're paying for. And you're driving all those new vehicles. And you're buying all that those nice clothes. And you're doing, you got satellite dish. You, how are you going to stand before God and say, Lord, I couldn't get my satellite cut off. You know, I had to get that money from somewhere. I need these cell phones. Paying $300 a month. $800 for a cell phone. I hope you break the thing. I hope you lose it. That's right. You're crazy. You don't have to have that. They all cause cancer, they say, so you know, I'm gonna pay $800 for my put up cancer. I don't know if they do or not. What are you taking God's money and spending on? I watch them. They never get out of the hole. They never ever get out of the hole. Because they're cursed. We're gonna talk about curses. Well, let's talk about that curse. Because you're not paying your tithes, you're not giving offerings. And that's an easy curse to get out from under. You don't even have to cast a demon out. Just start doing what's right. That's right. That's all you got to do. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the church. Don't give them to your aunt that's having a stroke. That's where your offering can go there. That there may be meat in my... How many people have told me, well, brother, because I'll pay my tithes, but I'm trying to help my kids get through college. And I believe that's not what it says. That there may be meat and or food in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. You know, when my parents were young, they were taught this, and they started paying their tithes, and everything started going bad. So they quit paying their tithes. The devil won one, didn't he? I'm telling you the truth tonight. You cut out everything, but don't you cut those tithes and offerings out. Because you do that, you cut off your source, which is God. You can't do without Him. And besides the condemnation, I don't know, there may be some sitting here right there, you do not like what I'm saying. But if you're not paying your tithes and you're not giving your alms, you are robbing God, and there's no thieves going to heaven. I read it in the book. You couldn't be trusted in heaven. You'd be sneaking out if there wasn't. But you'd be sneaking out, nobody looking, trying to chip up some gold off those streets. That's right. That's what you'd be doing. Your neighbors would have to lock their doors. There's going to be locks and doors up there, by the way. If there are doors, I don't know if they're going to be doors. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And then this other song, just give me a cabin somewhere. You know, I don't know, whichever one you want. It's not about that. It's being in His presence. I go to prepare a place for you. Prove me now herewith, says the Lord. Who's saying this? The Lord's saying this. If I will not open to you, and you'll be tried on this, by the way. You'll be tried on this. And even if you go down the drain financially, you still do it. That's right. Brother Clinton had told of, there's a man in his church, he's his top tither. He invited him over. He needed to talk to him. So he went over there, and this guy was some manager of something, the R.C. Cola company. Anybody here old enough remember R.C. Cola? Okay. And so he handed him a cold R.C. Cola and said, pull up that Coke box, you know what I mean, you know, the old wooden hulls. He said, I need to talk to you about them tithes. What about them tithes? He said, brother, after I pay this, he named off all the stuff, his car payment, his house payment. I don't have any tithe money left. I don't have any money left to pay my tithe. And Brother Clinton did and said, he thought, I better drink this fast because it'll be the last one I get. And he said, I'll tell you what, you got this thing all wrong. He said, your tithes come out first. Then you pay your bills. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you about ready to shout? Hallelujah. Yes, if I was preaching to you, I've watched one time Cleft Lowell Dollar. He is preaching to those people, and he said, and you women that need a husband, God's about to give you a husband. You never saw them women jumping up and hollering and screaming and waving their arms. Yeah. Oh, praise God. And I will rebuke that. I also saw him cover that platform with money. And I've got to tell you one more. Brother Clinton, he is preaching to the church, and the church was dead and dried up, a few people there. And God had him preaching hard. He's preaching, I mean, toward repentance, you know. And so on a Sunday morning, he said, Lord, this is my last, I want to preach something nice now. And the Lord said no, and he gave him what to preach, and he preached it. And when he got through, he tried to turn around and give it to the pastor, and the pastor had his head down underneath his chair. And he said, Pastor, come on. He said, no, you killed him, you do something with it. And he said, about that time, somebody got up and brought a wad of money and put it on that platform. Said, here's the tithe. I've been trying to starve this preacher out. Somebody else came. Here they come. This paying, you know, has anybody ever heard of that, starving the preacher out? Well, where y'all been? That's how you get rid of a preacher. You quit paying. Are they, you know. One time at my church, when I hadn't been there long, they didn't like me for some, I don't know. I'm so likable, but they didn't like me. And on Sunday, here's the arrangement. You put your money for the support the church in the Sunday school offering. Then you put your tithes in the church, you know, during church. And so I'm to get the one that comes in church. And the other goes, so that morning they all put their tithes in the Sunday school offering, you know, so I couldn't get it. That's what they did. Well, that Sunday night, hallelujah. What they did, I said, you people lied to me. You said you'd pay me your tithes and offering, which I don't know, $60 or something. I worked on a job, so it wasn't like I was going to starve. It's a thing of what they're doing. Praise God. Let's get off this. But he does say, if you'll do this, see that if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. He means what he says. It's going to be so much, you don't have room for it. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast the fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. There'll be no thieves in heaven for sure. There's a man in my church one time, he's a reprobate. And I tell you, I've told you some things about him, sued me over a bottle, all kinds of things that he'd given me 10 or 12 years before. Took me to court, he won. But anyway, he stood up there in front of the judge, and he every check he'd written, he read off the date and how much and put it in front of the judge right there. Next one right there. I said, "Old brother, if you ever had a reward, you just lost it." But you know what he told me one day? He said, "I pay my tithes because it works." He said, "It works." Later on, he got run over and killed in front of his house. Amen. Praise God. He didn't sue any other preachers. 1 John 3:17.
Lord help us.
That's right. You don't mess with God's anointing. You don't. I visited on the way here a lady in the nursing home. Did me so bad. And now, it took a few years, but she's laying there, I don't even know if she knows who she is. Had a stroke, and I'm sorry. I go by because the Lord told me to go by and pray for her, because I'd like for her to make heaven. 1 John 3:17, but whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his heart of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? How? He said, if you say you love God and hate your brother, I don't hate my brother, but you're not helping him. When we're under those bridges and you hear all this awesome traffic going over the bridge, driving their Mercedes and their Cadillacs and all, and underneath are people that they don't know where their next meal's coming from. It was so cold this last Friday, a cold wind blowing under there. And that ought not to be. That ought not to be, folks. You see your brother in need. There was his name is Reginald, young black man, and he came to me and he said, most of them know my name, said, "Brother Pinson, I've got an interview, praise God. It's in a suburb north of Dallas, but he said, I've got an interview. Won't you pray for me?" And he said, "I'm going to need $5 to ride the train. So I'm going to pray for him." So while I'm praying for him to get his $5, the Lord says, "You got $5 in your billfold." And you say, they come to you and they need you, say, "Be warmed and be blessed. Hallelujah, I bless you as you go." But you don't give them what they need. So I gave him the $5. The next Friday night, he was so happy. He said, "I got that job." But he said, "I don't get a check yet." I said, "Well, how are you getting there?" And he said, "Well, I get on the train illegally and ride it. I don't know how he does it. I wish to find out." Anyway, he gets on it somehow and he rides it. And you can condemn him if you want to, but I don't think, you know, whatever it takes, get there, brother. You can't walk there. And I'm not going to judge him on it. And so he's talking to me, and the Lord says, "You got $20 in your billfold." What's the scripture say? Open your hand wide. And so it didn't take me that long that time. I opened that billfold and gave him that $20. And then this last Friday night, he was so happy. He said, praise God, he's going to get his first check. But he's too late. I couldn't give him anything because another couple came and they needed help with their rent or they were going to get kicked out. So I gave him what I had. He said, "Well, you can't give though. They'll probably go drink it up." That's between them and God. You know what? That's between them and God. I don't want to give my money to that church because I don't know they'll do the right thing. That's between them and God. Praise God. What are you doing in the church you can't trust them anyway?
Come on.
You find one where you can trust them, you see what they're doing. They're feeding the hungry. They're visiting the sick. They're doing what the Scripture says. Well, praise God. If the love of God is not dwelling in us, then we're not a citizen of the kingdom of God. Galatians 6:1. "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." I know personally that I have to be careful here, but I know this person that wouldn't forgive another person for doing something immoral. I mean, wouldn't forgive them. Oh, I'm so holy. Well, guess what came out a few years later? She was doing worse. She wasn't doing it then. But he said, you restore me. She would not restore that person, lest you also be tempted. It's amazing how they end up doing the same thing that they criticized and condemned the other person for doing. I tell you, I saw it in front of my face, and it works. The Word of God works. Whether it's negative or positive, it works. Praise God. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. That seems to be a controversy there, bearing one another's burdens, and then every man bears his own burdens. But you know what he says. Sometimes they need help. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. The kingdom of God, people care about each other. They focus on each other, not themselves. They're restorers. They don't think too highly of themselves. They do their part. They prove their own work. They take care of their business. And they take care of the ministers who teach them. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore, you know, there's a time there in that Old Testament that the priests had to quit and go out and make a living because they weren't paying their tithes. They weren't bringing what they were supposed to bring. And the man of God, the prophet, got on to them for it. 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore from now on we'll know no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now from now on know we him no more. Citizens of the kingdom do not relate to each other or to Christ on a fleshly level. You do that and there's going to be all kinds of immorality happening in that church and all kinds of contention when we know each other after the flesh. Praise God. 2 Timothy 1:16, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. The citizens of the kingdom of God have desired, sought after the manifestation of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 12. The kingdom of God is populated with people that have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And if you've never sought these gifts, you're out of order. You need to repent and begin to do what we're told to do. I just don't know, whatever. No, you need to turn your TV off. You need to get off the phone. You need to praise God and seek these gifts. How are you going to stand before? What are you going to answer God? How are you going, when He says, why didn't you do what I... What are you going to say? Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Who's God hanging out with? And it's not the proud, haughty people. And there's plenty of them in ministry and in religion. Isaiah 66:2, for all those things has my hand made. And all those things have been, says the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We read that earlier. The citizens of the kingdom of God have a broken and contrite heart and spirit. Those who are not broken and contrite belong to another kingdom, not the kingdom of God. You know, I thank God when I see people, and especially if I'm praying for them, I see them. It's wonderful they fall out on the floor. It's wonderful if they dance in the spirit. It's wonderful if they shout. It's wonderful if they run the aisle, jump the pews, do all that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what's more important is if you see a brokenness come over them. Where they're weeping before God. That's what He's looking for, folks. He's not impressed with all this other. It's good to be blessed, but if you're not broken and contrite, it won't last you till you get to the back door. Somebody done upset you and they'll be hollering in the lobby. I've seen it. One time I had two women got out in the front lawn and going to have a fight out there. That's embarrassing. You know what?
Lord help.
Call the cops. cost you, church, to settle a fight. Hallelujah. We got something going on over here, brother. Come to the church of the... When I was growing up in high school in Dallas, you know, the biggest crowd was not when the guys fought, it was when the girls got tried. I mean, it's a lot more. They're pulling hair, pulling each other's clothes off. I mean, it's bad. I mean, if they won't, I'm sorry, I went to watch one of them, but there's a big crowd, I want to see what's going on. And if they try to quit fighting, they'd shove them back into each other. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now let me tell you about that cloud of witnesses. That's not grandma looking over the balconies of heaven checking on you. Sorry, but it's not. You want to know what the cloud of witnesses are? Back up into chapter 11. You'll see what they are. It's not that. One thing, look. When Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, he did not know what was going on with the rich man in hell. Okay? He couldn't see any of that. If I had to look over the balcony of heaven and see my kids and all that and grandkids misbehaving, you know, I wouldn't be very pleasant. What are you going to do when you get to heaven and your wife, your husband, your kids didn't make it, your mom and your daddy didn't make it? I believe God's got all that figured out. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Citizens of the kingdom of God are laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets him. Citizens of the kingdom of God are looking unto Jesus, and they understand and respect that he's the author and finisher of their faith, not themselves. I tell you this, what it took to save you, it's going to take to keep you. You can't keep yourself. Citizens of the kingdom of God see a joy set before them that the citizens of this earth do not and cannot see. If we don't have joy, there's something wrong. It says joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you come tonight, and I'm sorry, God can fix this. That's perhaps why you came. But if you know what it's like when you're the pastor, you're sitting up there and it's a worship service and it's, oh my God, what happened to these people, you know? Where's the joy at? Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. And if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Citizens of the kingdom of God live by faith, but citizens of this world live by fear, self-exaltation, and self-sufficiency. If we as a citizen of the kingdom of God draw back, then we give the Lord our Redeemer no pleasure, and therefore he'll cast us out of his kingdom. Read Revelation 20. The second death, the lake of fire. First Peter, you know, Jesus gave the parable and the way they were brought to the wedding feast, and this one came and didn't have on the wedding garment, and so the Lord's talking about himself, but the one invited comes and he finds this one doesn't have the wedding garment on. And he said, hey, brother, why don't you have the wedding garment on? And he was speechless. And he said, bind this man hand and foot and cast him in the fire. Cast him in the fire. What is that? And it's a whole message you could preach on. What is that wedding garment? What is that garment that you're supposed to have on? I'll tell you one thing. Part of it is it's faith, it's joy, it's peace. You know, the kings in the old, they had jesters, they had people that sang, they had people keep that king, keep him happy. They didn't allow anyone to come and make him unhappy. That's why Esther was concerned about coming before the king. She hadn't been invited, and she comes and says, well, I've got a problem. He don't want to hear about your problem. I'm talking about heaven. First Peter, oh, praise God, I'd have to take a while to work my way out of that. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. Citizens of the kingdom of God are always casting their care upon the Lord who cares for them. Why are we caring him? Why are we caring him? Citizens of this world carry their cares around like a heavy weight because no one cares for their soul. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word, the signs following. Citizens of the kingdom of God, have faith. Last page. When you're unloading a load of lumber, you know which one you're looking for? Last one. Praise God. The last one. I'm helping you. Last page. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Citizens of the kingdom have faith. And in Jesus' name, they have signs following their lives. And they preach. And the Lord works with them, confirming their words with signs following. Praise God. If you never have a word, there's an old song that says, you never mention him to me. You saw me day by day. You knew I was astray. And you never mentioned him to me. Why? Why? You want to come to work talking about what you saw on TV, the latest movie you watched, who won the ball game? But you never mention him to me. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. 2 Corinthians 3:18, for we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory or the revelation of the Lord, are being changed or transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. These verses I'm reading to you tell you the purpose of being saved. It's to become one with him, to become what he is. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. How's that working with you? Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Are you growing up into Christ? Is it being formed in you? Are you being changed in the same image? Are you being conformed to the image of Christ? Citizens of the kingdom of God are being changed, transformed, conformed, growing up into Christ in all things, and Christ is being formed in them. If this is not happening in you, then you're not a citizen of the kingdom of God. Revelation 20:15, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's the second death. Earlier in Revelation, it said that those who were part of the first resurrection will not be hurt by the second death. The second death. Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defiles, neither whatever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Only those names that are written in the Lamb's book of life are citizens of the kingdom of God. Praise God. Jane, will you come? Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we have to look at ourselves tonight. Not trying to condemn anybody, not trying to hurt your feelings, put you down, or... But you know, the scripture says, examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. I believe we could say, examine yourself to see if you're in the kingdom of God. There's requirements for entering into the kingdom of God. And the only people going to the kingdom of heaven are the people that are in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So I don't like what you preach. Well, it is the truth. And this is what the Lord gave me. I know He did. I didn't waste my time turning that light on and off. I thank God I got touched. I got blessed while He's giving me this and I'm writing it down. Let's just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an appropriate song that James played. Let's sing it together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Righteousness.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.